energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined this evening, July 6, 2009, by Richard Willis of Magna Coaster Motor Company. He claimed to have a unit that puts out more electricity than it consumes. It turns out that the motor part of the company name may turn out to be a bit of a misnomer, since most recent iterations of the device turn out to be solid state, that is, they do not have any moving parts, other than a small pump for cycling some dielectric oil across the coils to prevent plasma from forming between the coils, thus destroying the coils. Invented by accident, the technology has not been developed to a point that the company, it has been developed to a point the company is now selling several output sizes ranging from 4.8 kilowatts to 12 kilowatts. Though they have not yet shipped any units, they're very close, supposedly. Richard was on Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, or CBC's, Dragon's Den not long ago, in which one of the dragons, Brent Wilson, agreed to put up $1 million for a 50% share in a utility project. Tonight we'll find out what came of that development. Where is the company getting its money to build its two production facilities?
Free energy, now!
Hey, Sterling Allen here, coming back at you. We apologize for the technical difficulties we had tonight getting our host on, or our guest on. We are talking tonight to Richard Willis, who is the inventor of the what they call the Vortex, with a K in the middle. That turns out to have been a bit of a typo that turned into the name of the company, V-O-R-K-T-E-X. Also the name of the company is Magna Coaster Motor Company, who has come up with a very interesting technology that puts out far more energy, supposedly, than what is consumed on the front end. In other words, it is over unity. As I was mentioning before, Richard was on Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, or CBC's, Dragon's Den not long ago, in which one of the dragons, Brett Wilson, agreed to put up $1 million for a 50% share in a utility project. Tonight we'll find out what came of that development, along with what this technology is all about, how it works, and where the company is at in process of rolling this out. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sterling. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you coming on. And you're over there on Ontario time, so it's midnight for you. Appreciate you coming on at a late hour.
It's all dark.
Well, I just was able to watch not long ago this episode on CBC's Dragon's Den. When was that aired?
That would have been back last fall. It was the last show of the season, so I think it aired just before Christmas week, I think is when it finally aired.
So what came of that? Did Brett come up with the $1 million that you talked about on that show?
We're still in talks with that group. Basically, there's been a lot of change in the last 12 months. With everything that's gone on with the power here in Ontario and across Canada, we're waiting for, they call it the New Green Energy Act right now, and they're going to offer in Ontario 80.6 cents for homeowners to put solar panels up on their house.
86 cents per kilowatt is a lot of money. Kilowatt hour. Here in Utah, we only pay, I think, 9 cents per kilowatt hour.
Well, I think what the plan is the government finally has decided that they need to get off of coal-fired power plants and nuclear stations, so they're willing to go out on a limb and make sure that the homeowners can afford to actually do the project and get some of their money back. So,
Well, let's start by talking about your technology. You came on this technology by accident, and maybe we can talk about that accident just a little bit later. But first, let's talk about what is this technology? What does it do?
Basically, what we do is we take 12 volts at 1 amp, and we basically pulse it into a coil set that basically is wrapped by rare earth magnets. And what happens is it speeds up not only the voltage, but the frequency, as well as the amperage of the power. And then we pull it back off the same circuit without using any extra flyback coils or anything. And then basically transfer it from there over into a new cap setup that we've just developed. And then
when you say cap, you're talking about a capacitor?
Yeah, a capacitor. Basically, what we came to the conclusion was that by taking the power and directly dumping it into a battery, the battery would inevitably go soft and it would heat itself inevitably. But what we figured out was that we could take the power and increase it and basically recharge the battery with it without a problem, then basically we could do it that way, no problems.
But let me ask you, I know as I watched your show, they were talking about supposedly Unity being, quote, something for nothing, so to speak. But my understanding of these systems, it's not something for nothing. It's harnessing it from the environment. In other words, this is whether it's zero point, whether it's cosmic energy or whatever, it is tapping, as what Nikola Tesla called it, the will work of nature.
Well, the one thing that we found out after doing numerous studies over the last 2 years was that we were able to basically create a Faraday generator, but without the movement part. And what we figured is that the coils are allowing the magnetic fields to collapse and come back in on themselves. And when they come back in on themselves, that's when we get the amplification of the power and the frequency and the amperage of the power.
Now, do you think that the super high power neodymium magnets that you're using, somehow those are affecting the coils and allowing for this effect?
Yeah. Basically, the way that we have the coils laid out, what we do is we push the magnetic force back, and then we allow it to roll back over itself after the power is shut off. So if you can imagine, it's like shooting water up a straw and then having the water come shooting back down the straw with gravity, and that's basically all we're doing.
Of course, in that scenario, it takes energy to shoot the straw up, or the water up the straw, so the water coming down the straw generating electricity is less than what it takes to pump it up.
Yeah, that's the only problem with using water to do it. Now, when you do it with electricity, you can take a flyback, and you can create a flyback coil that will basically change your power, and it will put it into another dimension, whether you take 12 volts and you change it up to 1,000 volts. But usually what ends up happening is you lose your amperage on the go-round, or you lose your frequency, or you lose your voltage. By putting the neodymiums in there, we don't lose anything. We actually gain. So we're using the magnets to actually do the amplification for us.
So when you were on the Dragon's Den show, you said that with an input of 18 watts, you could get an output of 15 kilowatts. That's a 1,000-fold increase, just about.
Yeah, and since then, we've discovered that actually, depending on how you do it, you can actually get more than that. We've seen up to 150 amps out of the same coil set, and the power going up as high as about 600 volts on the output without a problem.
Also, when we were talking earlier today, you were mentioning that you're going to be tying these systems to solar so that the 18-watt input is coming from a renewable source, solar energy, which then is being amplified by your system, so that basically your system as a technology can be considered a solar technology, so that you don't have to jump through all the hoops of coming up, you know, the 5 years of certifications and all that stuff in order to bring a new technology into the energy portfolio. basically it comes on as far as being sold to the customers and being installed to the utilities, or being sold to the utilities as well. It's a solar technology.
That is correct. By using a solar input, basically what you're allowing yourself to do is collect a higher rate of return on your investment. Now, to get a certification here is about 5 years and probably in the neighborhood of anywhere between about $100,000 to $500,000 in costing. Now, when I was speaking with the government, the one gentleman there said to me, he said, your best bet is to either pair it up with solar or pair it up with biomass or pair it up with wind. And he said, but he says, if you could class it with solar, you'd make more money off of it. Now, the federal government here in Canada was nice enough to actually work with me on it, and I basically was allowed to class it as solar because I'm using the one panel to bring my increase into the battery and basically take it from there.
Now, if I understand right, the batteries involved in your system are different from the Bedini system where you have one set of batteries powering the input, which then an output is powered from the input process. It goes into a separate set of batteries on the output side. In your system, you've got the same battery on the input also receiving the output.
Yeah, that was one of the weird things that we were actually able to do was we were able to loop our system back into itself. Now, by looping it and not having to put any outside power in except the solar, we got the solar classification. But now, going down the road and looking at it, Tesla had a few things to say about that. One of the big problems that we had at the start was that when you were looping it back in, you were actually crossing your wires. And I'm not a big fan of putting positive and negative together with no buffer in the middle.
That's why the capacitors are being introduced?
We introduced a flyback, actually, into the drive circuit to take away any possibility of the drive circuit actually having a meltdown and taking the unit out. And then by using the capacitors on the back end, we can basically jack the voltage up and do anything we want with it. We can jack it anywhere from 12 to about 300 volts without a problem.
Now, you've been basically taking customer orders since about, January or so, and here we are in July. Are some of those customers getting a little bit antsy about when they're going to see their product?
We've had a couple of customers that are very antsy about getting their product. A lot of them are very easygoing. There are a few that are a little uppity at times. What we are trying to do is release a product that basically is going to do exactly what we say it's going to do, because, I mean, I don't want to give someone a product that basically isn't going to charge their battery.
Mm-hmm. Now, wouldn't it be good from a customer service point of view to just go ahead and say to those two customers, here's your money back, and just hang on to the customers that are fine and have enough patience to wait through the different changes and bugs and whatnot they need to work through? Wouldn't that be a good way to go?
Yeah, well, we've had a couple of customers that had complaints, and basically what's happened is I brought in another team to actually deal with the customers themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they're dealing with the customers on a day-to-day basis. That way I'm freed up, and I'm allowed to spend my time in the test area where I can actually get things up and running. So, I mean, I'm trying to keep out of that end of the business totally right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and for me, that's
a bad idea.
Well, you know, there's only 24 hours in the day. You can work for about 10 of them before you start hallucinating and blacking out. Because, I mean, looking at circuits all day has definitely made your eyes a little buggy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, I was at one point, I was working 7 days a week, but under doctor's orders, my blood pressure went up through the roof. They got me to cut it back to 5 days a week.
Well, tell me about this unit that you demonstrated on television, a CBC show.
The unit we demonstrated on the CBC show had two coils in it. It wasn't our four-coil unit. It was actually a two-coil unit. It was running on a manual timing system. And we actually found out later down the road that part of the manual timing system actually started to collapse. And that was one of the reasons why we started holding back on shipping out right away, because I wanted to switch it over to electronics. Now, I've had...
Let me just jump in here really quick. You just described a scenario, which is the very reason why usually they don't put product on the market until it's been through years of testing. Because, you know, you have something you think might work or does work, but then you run it through the rigors of testing, heat, vibration, and other rigors that, you know, typical products before they hit the marketplace will go through, especially something that's dealing with electricity, to find out all the bugs, to find out all the catches. And then you say, okay, we've got a product, and here it is, and you actually... not only say, here it is for sale, but you know that it's going to work because the thing has been through a lot of rigors. And the unit that, you're not just saying that we are going to have a unit for sale, you say we do because the printing presses are running, so to speak. I'm just curious why you're not going that direction.
Well, one of the issues that we've had right from the start was trying to not allow the technology to fall into hands where it would end up on a shelf. I mean, prior to going on the Dragon's Den, I was actually approached by a couple of bigger companies that would like to bought me out and basically silenced me. And I felt that as long as we could produce a unit and the unit did what we said, what we would do was we would actually offer upgrades free of charge. So as we move forward with our unit, people would get the latest, greatest technology on a new plug-in board or, you know, however else we were going to change it and make it better.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, the reason you're going on the fast track, so to speak, is you want to get product out so that the chances of you being shut down are diminished, is that, or bought out or whatever?
There's always a chance that someone's going to step in and basically either buy the technology out, and I've heard from different people that have been involved in this technology that there is usually cars with dark windows, tinted windows that show up and offer you to basically leave your technology and walk away. And now
we've heard a lot of stories along those lines. In fact, on our website, we've got some 30, nearly 40 documented instances where people have been suppressed in one way or another over at PezWiki.com. Just, in fact, I think we own EnergySuppression.com forwards to that page. So I know it does exist, and you know, I don't take issue with you there. My question, though, is don't you think that you run a risk if you're putting out products that are not fully vetted in terms of being tested by engineers and run through the rigors, that your customers could become your worst enemy as they start coming back with lawsuits and, you know, somebody's house burns down because the unit's faulty and, you know, gets shorted out. One of these plasma arcs comes along, the pump goes out on your dielectric thing that keeps the arc from happening and the thing arcs out and starts a fire, the house burns down. You know, that could be a much bigger issue in terms of, or not necessarily bigger, but it could be as much of an impediment to your progress. Wouldn't it be a little better to just take a little more measured steps before you offer product to the market?
We actually had gone to a few different testing facilities to see if we could have testing done. One of them was the CSA lab down in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big ones anyway. And we were basically, we approached them about doing some testing. And the guy said, well, if you can figure out how to test it, he says, we'll test it for you. And I said, okay, well, if I go to Fluke and I get Fluke to give us some type of a power meter that we can basically look at the input and the output and everything that happens with it, would you test it? And they went, sure. So I then went over to Fluke and started talks with Fluke about, do you have a meter that will basically test this type of power, and can you provide it at a reasonable cost? It was at that point, after we'd burned out three or four Fluke meters, and the university had returned them to Fluke, that I was presented with a box, and the guy said, now we know who you are. And I said, okay. And I said, now what's the end result? And he says, we don't have anything in our line to be able to test this power. So, I mean, if you're, you know, it's like, what do you do? Who do you turn to go and do the power testing?
Yeah, if you're coming up with some new paradigm, some new system, some with different signatures and fingerprints and characteristics that fall outside of the norm, they're not going to have equipment to test that kind of stuff. So you're saying that by piggybacking off of the solar market and introducing products, doing the best you can, are you going to try and screen your customers to a certain extent so that you have people who are maybe beta tester okay, and that they're okay if things go wrong, and they even sign waivers so that if something goes amiss, that they won't sew the pants off of you?
Well, we've got a bunch of beta testers down in the Windsor, Ontario corridor that are waiting, and as soon as we can get some permits back from Ontario Power, they're going to actually go on grid with it and basically do some testing for us. But right now, because of the new ruling with the laws here in Ontario, we have to wait for them to come out. Now, hopefully, under my understanding now, is it should be released sometime around the 25th or the 26th of this month. So we should be able to go live just after that.
Yeah, when I was talking to you earlier this today, you sounds like you're really close, even though it's been several months since you've been taking customers' orders. Including a 50% down, you're really close to being able to crank this thing and send them out. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this Magnetoaster technology and what it's going to mean to the world.
Live streaming audio on demand, 24 hours a day. Log on now at 1100kfnx.com. CNN Radio, I'm Greg Black. They're finally resting easy tonight in South Carolina. CNN's David Mattingly says the search for a suspected serial killer has ended in neighboring North Carolina.
This case coming to an abrupt and violent end in North Carolina. This serial killer killed in a shootout with North Carolina police, Patrick Tracy Burris.
Police in Nashville say the girlfriend who was found shot to death near the body of former NFL star Steve McNair had purchased the gun that was found next to those bodies. And police spokesman Don Aaron says she bought it shortly after she'd been arrested on a drunk driving charge.
The traffic stop occurred between 1 and 1:30 a.m. Thursday morning. The gun was purchased Thursday evening.
Huge crowds are gathering this hour in Los Angeles for tomorrow's Michael Jackson Memorial. He'll be honored in the Staples Center. That, of course, is the same venue where he'd been rehearsing for those London concert appearances. This is CNN Radio.
After the holiday weekend, it looks like our monsoon takes a break, but that means we really start to cook things this week, 109 to 112 through Thursday and Friday, and then into this weekend. You ready for this? We're close to 115. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 101 degrees.
Help! I need somebody! Help.
Dave, is it really all doom and gloom out there?
Well, Rick, I can think of one bright spot.
Tuesday at noon here on KFNX.
The Elton Realty Show.
Your real estate survival guide.
Whenever called, they serve. They are often asked to put their lives on the line. Whether it's keeping Americans safe from foreign threats or bringing relief from disasters here at home, our soldiers prevail against all odds. These military sons and daughters have needed us in times past, and they need us today. We at ABC Plumbing and Reuter have brought you this message to ask for your support of our troops. Thank you.
Didn't get a bailout for your business? Then try out this stimulus plan. The KFNX 2009 Advertising Stimulus Special. Ad packages starting at just $500 for 50 30-second primetime ads in your favorite talk shows. Your choice of Laura Ingraham, Neil Bortz, Lou Dobbs, and Dr. Laura. You'll also receive a free listing on the KFNX website. To stimulate your business, call the KFNX Advertising Department at 602-277-1100, extension 1463. That's 602-277-1100, extension 1463.
Don't miss Imus in the Morning, Arizona's news talk leader. Imus in the Morning. Only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. The I-Man is back.
Gonna make a change in some lives today. We will work with not for profit. Grassroots movement spreads the word we say. We want to.
Free energy now.
We really want to change the world today.
Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations, that's for sure. Or some hard work volunteering. Give a little and you'll get back more. You know the future's looking brighter. We just want to help the world today.
Free energy now.
That's the toll-free call-in number if you're listening live, 866-536-1100. We're talking tonight to Richard Willis from Magna Coaster Motor Company, inventor of the Vortex, V-O-R-K-T-E-X, .ca is their website, V-O-R-K-T-E-X. That comes from a typo when they were looking for a domain name, Vortex. Added a little K in there, and it's stuck. Claims to be an over-unity generator, said to produce electrical power without using fuel. More energy out electrically than what goes in by far. And they seem to be in production to a large extent in terms of they're just about ready to ship product out of their factory or the beginnings of a factory. Let's pick up where we were talking earlier, and I want to talk about price point. You know, it's one thing to produce energy freely from the environment. It's another thing to do it cheaply and affordably so that it competes with coal and natural gas, which, you know, if it's not cheaper for the customer, they're not going to buy it. That's just the reality of today's economics. So what kind of price point are we talking about with this technology, Richard?
Well, the one thing that we came up with early on, we were dealing with a couple of different inverter companies, was that we wanted to keep the price point for the home unit somewhere down in underneath the $20,000 range. Solar right now can range anywhere from basically $20,000 to $200,000, depending on how much solar you're going to put in your house. Wind's definitely not a... It's a good alternative, but it's not a full-time alternative, and I've been hearing that most of the winter, that people that have had wind in the past somehow this year ended up with no wind at all. As for running bio is really cool unless you're up here in Canada, and over the wintertime, I guess, there's big issues with bio actually freezing up, so people have to switch back over to diesel. Now, we had the government up here had a cap on our power, I guess the same as a lot of the states down in the U.S., where customers were paying 5.6 to, you know, 6.9 cents per kilowatt hour. And what ended up happening was the grid got so out of control and so unstable that the government sort of decided they had to step in and do something. Now, they've got programs where they are getting you to basically change all your light bulbs, and there's another program where you're allowing them to control the thermostat in your house, so if they want to shut your air conditioner off, they can. Now, the latest measure, from what I understand from this act, will allow them to call businesses up and basically say, we don't have enough power, we can see the basically the big brownout coming, and we need to shut you off. So, I mean, is this coming at the right time, and will it be the right price point? I sure hope so. I mean, we've done our market research along the way. I've had people tell me, well, you know, you should charge, you know, $10,000 or $100,000 or $50,000 per unit and not worry about how much you charge because you're going to cut the fuel end of it out. And, you know, it's not about cutting the fuel end of it out. It's actually about making a change. It's about helping the planet become a little more green. It's about, you know, people not having to worry about their carbon footprint. I mean, it's one thing that people talk about all the time. Is how big is my carbon footprint and, you know, what am I doing to this planet, you know, as I'm here? So, I mean, you know, we've definitely tried to make it a little more reasonable. Our new solar one, which we're still working on to put the whole system together with Xantrex and SMA, will basically come in just under $30,000 complete. And, I mean, you can't buy a 10K solar unit complete for that price at all. So, I mean, are we hitting the price point? Well, I think we are. Could I be wrong? Well, I've been wrong before, so, you know, there's always that possibility that I can do it again.
If I could read a little bit into this, comment on this for a second, 10 kilowatts is really kind of overkill for a home. The average usage of a home is about one, if I remember right, it's like one-tenth of peak. And so when you've got everything running in the evening when you come home for work or in the morning before you head off for work, you've got the washer and the dryer and the TV and the ovens going, all these electrical appliances at the same time, that's peak. Your average is like one-tenth of that or less. And so when you've got a battery array with a solar system, unless you're grid-tied and you don't need that array, 10 kilowatts is way more than most people would need. 5 kilowatts would be more than ample for most homes. And so shooting for 10 kilowatts is going to be more than enough. Now, if I understand right, you've got solar panels that would be providing a trickle of power compared to the 10 kilowatts to run your unit, and your unit's providing the bulk of the power. How are you going to present that to your customers?
Well, the one thing that we've had a bunch of people calling, and we get them to do an energy audit on their house as to what their maximum consumption is. And, I mean, here if you're going on the grid tie, they'll basically pay you for whatever you put back onto the grid. And if you can put 9 kilowatts back up onto the grid continuously, you know, you're going to make quite the dollar off of it anyway. Then, but if you're going off-grid, you actually have to have enough to balance yourself out so that if you do start the washing machine and you do run a load of laundry and happen to turn the oven on at the same time, you've got to have enough power to actually carry yourself. Without that, basically what you'll be doing is popping fuses.
Mm-hmm.
That's been one of the big issues. I mean, it's trying to get people to understand, okay, it's nice that, you know, your hydro bill says you use X number of kilowatts of energy, but you actually have to break that down because you're not home all the time. There's only certain times of the day where you're home, and in the mornings you're actually, you know, hitting quite high, and in the evening when you come home from work is the other time you're hitting quite high as well.
And well, you do mention the number of outputs on your site. You've got 4.8 kilowatts, 9 kilowatts, 12 kilowatts, so a person could choose which one of those is. If they're off-grid, they might want to go for the 12-kilowatt if they've got a big cabin. If they're,
well, we tried to take the 12-kilowatt, and we worked with Ames out of the U.S. to actually build a three-phase 12-kilowatt unit to allow people that, you know, had more things in their house than, you know, I mean, I had one guy, he said to me, he says, in maximum load, my house only uses less than 1 kilowatt, and I go, well, that's really awesome. And he says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, we live in Canada. I said, most people here don't worry about how much stuff they have in their house. They don't want to be concerned. They don't want to change the way they live if they're going to go off-grid. If they could go off-grid and not have a hydro bill here, you know, they'd all be happy. but a lot of them are consuming more than what the unit will actually put out on a peak time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we're also getting enough here to some other issues with the hydro, where I guess at one point we built some nuclear reactors and the government didn't budget properly, so we have debt repayment charges and everything else. So, I mean, if you come to Ontario, you might be told you're getting, you know, power for 5.6 or 6.5 cents per kilowatt. And it's really funny because we tell people, okay, do all the math and add the whole bill up. And, I mean, you know, you get a debt retirement charge that's equal to your hydro bill. And then you get a delivery charge that's equal to your debt retirement charge. So, I mean, they definitely are seeing us coming and going in Ontario. Now, I know in California, yeah, basically you guys are having the same problem out in the West as well, where they don't have enough power to actually run everything.
Really quick, let's talk about the theory about how this stuff works. You've got a coil, you've got a magnet. What's going on? Where's the energy coming from?
Well, actually, you've got a coil and you've got two magnets. You've got a two neos, one on each end of the coil. And basically what happens is you pulse in power into that coil that's wrapped by those neos. And basically what happens is as it fires, it collapses the field. Now, when it releases and discharges, basically what happens is the field then travels back across the wire in a super fashion, or faster than what you would see it go out at, and basically you collect that power back up from there.
And having those high-power magnets next to the coil somehow brings that effect about?
Well, it was like the professor at the University of Waterloo said. He said, somehow you walked into a store, picked all the parts up off the shelf, and were able to put this together, and you lucked it. There's no way that anybody could have put all this junk together and done what you did.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you fluked it.
Well, your NEOs are really big, like 1.5 inch by what?
No, we're running 2x2 cubes on one end, and then a 2x2.5 on the other end. So we're definitely pushing a lot of power in there. You've got 600 and, I think it's they were talking about 650 foot pounds on the one end, so.
Yeah. Well, when we come back from break, let's talk about your business a little bit, how people can become dealers and things like that.
All right.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
If you're like many of the investors we've been talking with, you're mad and you're confused. A bailout for the banks, a bailout for the auto industry, bailout for everybody. Great, but who's bailing out your investment portfolio, your IRA, or your mutual fund accounts? Well, maybe we can help with that. At WealthPro Financial, we offer a wide range of ideas and strategies, and we do it based on your specific situation. Please give us a call at 480-275-5208 and find out how we might be able to help you. Again, call 480-275-5208. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Enjoy your senior living at Courtyard Towers, located in the downtown Mesa Arts District. Personalized service in a professional environment and yet still very affordable. We offer our residents an opportunity to make new friendships and enjoy life to the fullest with a variety of activities and fine dining. For all styles of senior living, independent, assisted, enhanced, or memory care, Courtyard Towers Senior Living. Call for a tour today. 480-649-3000. That's 480-649-3000.
Apparently, ABC News is moving into the White House. Now it's just ABC News Central is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. How can you possibly put on a balanced broadcast when you are so dependent on access of this type to actually report the news?
It's not just a talk show, it's an addiction. The Laura Ingraham Show, weekday mornings at 6 on KFNX.
Free energy, now!
Here's one for you music lovers out there. As you've come to appreciate our Free Energy Now or new service for exploring the cutting edge of clean energy, eMusic.com is a great place to find music from the more obscure yet very talented artists. Go to eMusic.com/energy, that's our affiliate page, to get a 14-day free trial with 35 free song downloads. If you cancel before 14 days, you get to keep all 35 tracks for free. eMusic is the number one site for independent music with more than 3.2 million tracks to choose from in MP3 format, providing the best value in digital music. Try them out at emusic.com/energy. Now tonight we're talking to Richard Willis from Magna Coaster Motor Company, inventor of the Vortex, V-O-R-K-T-E-X. And if you add a .ca, you get to their website, or you can go to magnacoaster.com, that'll take you there as well. Claims to be an over-unity generator that produces more electricity than what it consumes, and it consumes no fuel, pulling energy from the environment somehow freely. The device, of course, is not free, and that's what we're going to talk about in this next segment. Last time we talked about the price point, hoping to get it a home unit 10-kilowatt system for under $20,000, including the solar power panels that are involved on the input side. Let's talk about the company in terms of, you've got, if I understand right, you've got a few products actually sitting on a bench waiting for the final component, this output circuit with the capacitor. You need to have a little smaller capacitor than when you've been testing out so it'll fit inside of your metal enclosure. Let's talk about the metal enclosure for a second. You've got to protect from broadcasting some signals that could get you in trouble.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because you hear a lot of people in the U.S., get shut down, and I can never understand that. When I first got involved with this, I happened to have a close personal friend who's now in the U.S. who come up and he helped me. And one of the questions he said to me was, he said, "Are you broadcasting?" And I said, "Well, I don't think so, but let's have a look." And he brought in a meter, and sure enough, there was a broadcast coming off the unit, due to some extra copper I had in one of my circuits. So from there, basically, what I started to do was I started to look at the fact that if we didn't encapsulate the unit, basically what would happen is if you put it out in the environment, it could block different bandwidth. It could block the kilohertz band or even the megahertz band where the military is. So, I mean, we had to go through some testing with enclosures and basically run our meter against it and make sure that nothing was coming out of the enclosure at all, period.
So that's one of the reasons why your products are held up right now is because you need to get a capacitor small enough size-wise but large enough capacity-wise to do the trick.
Well, we found this one capacitor that works quite well, and it's an oil-filled capacitor, but one of the problems with it is it's also 12 inches tall. It'll handle the power, it handles the frequency, no problems. It hasn't blown the capacitor up, and I took some looking to actually be able to find a capacitor to match this one. We would like to inevitably get something in the 3 or 4 inch range. That way we could tuck it inside the case and not have to put another case on top of our case.
Okay. Now, back to the original question, you've got a number of units basically on the assembly line, so to speak, waiting for this final component, and then you're ready to ship. How many... Can I ask the question, how many units are going to go out in the first batch?
The first batch will have about 30 pieces go out. The second batch will have 40 pieces go out. The next batch after that, I don't know the total numbers. I really don't want to know because I have enough pressure on me. I don't need to put any more than I have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was nice enough that... You know, I brought a friend of mine back that I'd been in business with before, and I said to him, I said, I want you to come in and I want you to start looking after the customers. And then I somehow talked my mother. She's getting in her late 60s now. She was able to come back out of retirement and basically is going to help set up the production line. She's done it in the past. And we're going to actually make sure that everything goes smoothly.
Now, you're really confident about this. I mean, you put a lot of money into this. Somebody's putting money into this to do as much as you've done. Can I ask where that's coming from?
Well, the original money that we had come into the company came from another company out of Europe, and lo and behold, about 6 months down the road after they breached their contract and done a whole bunch of nasty things to us, we found out along the way that they were part of the solar industry, and I guess they saw us as a bit of a threat and decided that the only thing to do with us was to keep us looping ourselves and shut us down.
You were able to get out of that, huh?
Well, we've basically handed it over to our legal team. One of the nice things about the company is that most of the board of directors are actually lawyers. And we basically depend on them for input, and they leave us alone to do the day-to-day operations, which is kind of nice. It's like having a guardian angel sit on your shoulder.
Yeah. Now, with the product that you're putting out now, I had asked you in conversation earlier today about some independent testing, any third-party testing that may have been done, and you're still a little bit weak in that area, but you have had some people. You're talking about somebody from a university that came and tested it out, and then he wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't give any kind of testimonial or written statement to people because basically put himself on a gag order. He's from a Scandinavian country, and he didn't want to be extradited. He was afraid of what would happen to him if he went public with his statement about your technology and its viability.
Well, it was funny because the first time I went in there, he was rather an easy-go-lucky gentleman that I dealt with and I didn't have a lot of problems with. And then I needed to go back in to do some preliminary testing for the investment group to start the investment funds rolling. And when we finally got in there, he did everything in his power to see if he could break it, shut it down, or prove that it didn't work. And he actually allowed us to do a video while we were in his lab at the university, which I still have a copy of. Mm-hmm. But due to the gag order that we put on each other, I'm not allowed to use it until he signs off on it. So, I mean, it's sort of like catch-22. Now, over the last year, bosses up at the university had changed, but it was kind of hilarious to see that big oil money that flows into the university is definitely keeping them from doing anything with us. Now, we've got a university out of New York State that's willing to step up to the bar in the next couple of weeks and actually take and micro one of our units so that they can build a portable carryable unit to recharge cell phones, GPSs, and laptops.
I would imagine once you ship out those first few units, some of those first customers are going to be engineers, scientists who will be able to do some rigorous testing to be able to document not just once but many times with, you say, 30 units in the initial shipment. That's going to be a lot of documentation and validation coming from people. So I would think that that would accelerate things a lot once that information starts coming in.
Once the Green Energy Act hits us on the 26th. We're looking at an influx of about 14,000 orders from what I've understood from a contact that we have that's the go-between between himself and an investment group. And those units are basically for on-grid power generation down in the Windsor-Essex corridor. So, I mean, we definitely will have a lot of work hitting us all at once. We've been in talks with setting up a plant over in Portugal for France, Portugal, and parts of Germany, and it'll basically take over and do it for there. But, I mean, the one thing that we've all talked about, I mean, they came over and they pressured me and pressured me and pressured me. And then finally, after he watched me put a unit together, he said, take your time. He says, and when you're ready, he says, let me know and we'll do it together. He says, I didn't understand it was so complex. Because, I mean, most people look at it and go, it's just, you know, some copper wire and some magnets and, you know, some electronics. And, hey, you can throw it together and, you know, you can just turn it on and it'll run. And it's like, you know, it'd be nice to say it's just, you know, some copper wire and it's just turn it on and it'll run. But if the coils aren't wound properly, the coils will burn up. And if the shielding isn't proper, you have too much copper in your circuit, you could be broadcasting and not even know it.
Well, I'd be curious to see and watch this develop as it, you roll forth with this, because a lot of places you could trip up, but it seems like you've got some good momentum going. I was actually quite surprised when I went to your site today and saw how far along you seem to be.
Well, we were actually lucky enough that most of the vendors that are actually providing the key components have opened up their labs to us and allowed us to do testing in their labs to help us over some critical parts. I mean, I've had some wonderful people step forward out of the blue to offer me, you know, component circuits and things like that that I would have never thought about. I had one guy come forward and offer me part of a Tesla circuit that I'd never seen before because it was never in any book.
So, last statement. We've got about 30 seconds. We've got to wrap this up.
Is it doable? Yes. Can anybody do it? A lot of hard work and a lot of beer is what I tell people. And will I keep doing this? Yeah, I'm having fun doing it. If I wasn't, I wouldn't do it.
Well, thanks for coming on. Again, it's vorktex.ca, vorktex.ca is their website. We also have coverage at pezwiki.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.